as I wait. Heart of God.
Hello, new life, and welcome to the Growth Group podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I am joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here in Pacifica, California, and we record these podcasts to help you get the most out of your small group discussion each week. This week, we are breaking into a new series. It is Easter Sunday, and we are beginning an interesting series, a series of character studies. Do you think that's an appropriate characterization?
Yes, I think that's fine. That's the closest.
And it's under the title Some Doubted. So we're looking at a series of biblical characters who had moments of doubt in their story. Starting with the story of Jesus' resurrection appearance to some of his disciples in Matthew 28. It's fascinating. It's the last few verses in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. And the disciples go up to Galilee just like Jesus instructed them to. And it says in verse 17, that's the key verse for this sermon, "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." And the very next verse, Jesus says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." But it's interesting how it says that when they saw him, some worshipped, but some doubted. What's going on there? There's worship, there's doubt. Is it the same people who worship and doubt, or the two groups of people? Lots of interesting questions to think about here.
Yes, and some of them we don't know the answer to.
Right.
But I was captivated by this verse earlier this year when I and it just hit me when I began reading a book called Faith in the Dark, and which looked at the whole subject of doubt.
Now, is this by Os Guinness, or is it another one?
No. God in the Dark is Os Guinness. This one is by a guy called Austin Fisher. Faith in the Shadows.
Oh, okay.
And he points out this this verse, and I had to begin thinking about it, because your first reaction when you think of that is, what do you mean you doubted? The guy's standing there in front of you. You saw him nailed to a cross. You know he died. You've seen him alive. What are you doubting?
Right.
As I began to think about it, I began to see all sorts of different perspectives on the subject of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we don't know whether they doubted. I mean, I don't think it's difficult to doubt that he was there with them. But maybe what they doubted was whether what he was asking them to do, what had happened, that they were worshipped. And, you know, sometimes our doubt comes from things that we'd like to believe but don't dare believe. Mm-hmm. Because I can't. Yes, I can see him standing there. But if I admit that to myself, I have to say,
implications.
He rose from the dead. And what does that mean? What does that mean for me? What implications does that have?
I mean, there are ways of kind of getting out of that reading of the text, whereby you could say, as Jesus came to them, he was at a distance. He was far away. Some saw, those with better eyesight, oh, it's Jesus. Others like, no, it can't be. And then as Jesus approached closer, like, oh, wait, it is. So, I mean, I've read that, which is kind of like when Jesus is on the shore and then the disciples are fishing. And then John, the beloved disciple, is like, it's Jesus. And Peter's like, what, really? No way. And then he jumps in the water. So
And at that point, Jesus eats in front of them as if to say, look, if you have any doubt in that I am who I am and I'm risen, I'm having breakfast with you here.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and only...
There's something about consumption which was like a proof in the Jewish mind of resurrection. It's just like the little girl that Jesus resurrected. He's like, give her something to eat.
Yeah.
So that's a similar point.
I mean, I understand that. I fear that that's one of those things that's trying to explain away physically something which was actually much more significant. I think that, you know, they had experienced, I mean, they were coming out of a week of their lives which was extraordinarily traumatic, when all of the things that they had perhaps hoped and dreamed about, they were crushed enormously as they saw Jesus crucified on the cross. Now they see him, and it's difficult to believe that they are seeing what they are seeing, you know.
But what I don't understand is, they had already seen the resurrected Jesus on the first day, on Sunday morning. Jesus appeared to them. Thomas wasn't there, but the account, this is in John, whatever, 19 or 20?
Yeah.
It specifies, like, all the disciples were there except for Thomas. They already saw him.
They did.
And it's like, how, and that's in Jerusalem, and now we're up in Galilee, and it's like, many days later, like, how do we... So, like, some people as well, another way of getting out of this, you know, doubt implication is to say, well, perhaps this is when, perhaps there were more than just the 11 disciples up in Galilee. In the same account, like, it says that, or I think it's in verse 7, Jesus tells the women to go up to Galilee, too. So perhaps, like, the women were there, and maybe that opens up the door to there being many, many more disciples of Jesus there. So, but then again, like, just two verses later, it specifies the 11.
Yeah.
So it seems like that's the nearest referent. So it seems like we have to think that it's the 11, but yeah, it's tricky.
I think one of the things that it reflects is the fact that what we believe often gets challenged by different things that we see and that we hear. And there are times when you think, well, I think I believe this, but what if? And I prefer to think that this is a much more complex emotional reaction to something which was an extraordinary event. And I think, and by going there, I believe that we can begin to experience something which we ourselves experience in the process of believing, in the process of coming to growing in Christ. That there are times when our beliefs, things that we believe, are challenged by something, and there are times when we want to believe something, but not sure that we can quite get there.
Right.
Or there are times that we don't want to believe something, but what we're seeing is almost demands that we do.
Right, right. The last, you know, couple weeks were a roller coaster of emotions for the disciples.
Right, exactly.
The triumphal entry and just that amazing exuberance. The kingdom is coming now. And now Jesus is arrested. We all run for our lives, terrified.
Right.
He's crucified. And now we see him and hear these rumors that he's still around. So, they're definitely not standing on solid ground.
Yeah. And I think that to try and explain away the phrase by saying there was some that he was at a distance or this was just different people, I think it takes something away from something. From something which actually helps us as believers in Jesus, that helps us to understand some of our own emotional struggles with doubt. Which I contend that every one of us experiences doubt in some form or another.
Well, can I interrupt you and maybe get to our questions?
Yes,
we've had such a lengthy discussion already on the text. And just as you get to the subject of doubt in general, I think it's a good time to ask our first question, entitled simply Doubt. Work together as a group to form a one-sentence definition of doubt. Have you ever doubted any aspect of your faith? What questions have you wrestled with, intellectual or moral?
Yes, and I think that's absolutely, it's a great question, because really understanding what doubt is helps us to grasp it far easier than just, we think of doubt as the opposite of belief, and I don't think it is the opposite of belief. I think that in a sense, belief demands that the process of believing almost always includes the process of doubting in order that you come to a place of belief. Mm-hmm. I think that the opposite of faith is unbelief, but not the opposite of doubt. Hmm. As I said in the sermon on Sunday, I think every single human being experiences doubt, because the issue is not what you, it's not, as I think one of the other questions is going to deal with, it's not what you don't believe that's the issue, it's what you do believe. And so,
can you help me understand that? I don't quite understand that. It's not what you don't believe, it's what you do believe that matters.
The fact that I don't believe in God, if somebody comes to me and says, I don't believe in God, well, okay, I can accept that. But what do you believe in? Because everybody believes something.
Everyone has some belief system, some worldview, perspective.
Absolutely.
Atheism is as much a religion as Hinduism.
It's as much of a worldview. As, mm-hmm. And so if you want to discuss beliefs with somebody, it's fruitless to discuss what I don't believe.
Let's start with where you are.
What you do believe. And sometimes people have never thought about that. You know, they haven't thought that, you know, the fact that I say I don't believe in God means that I do believe in what? Because if you believe in the Big Bang, say, well, okay, so what do you believe? We keep on examining what you do believe, and then... Because I can discuss with you what you do believe as opposed to what I believe, but I can't have, there's no conversation about you just saying I don't believe.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you, because then you go to the point you say, well, okay, why? You know, it, when you begin, and but many people have not really even thought through, okay, this is what I do believe, but why do I believe that? Why do I believe that, for instance, why do I believe that God doesn't exist? Well, science has proved, well, has it? How? And you begin to have conversations that have substance when you realize that, and I also contend this, and this may be, I also contend that every atheist has doubts too. Tell me.
There's a beautiful quote by C.S. Lewis on that subject.
Tell me that an atheist who stands on and looks out over Pedro Point and sees the beauty of the world doesn't just have a, I wonder, is it possible that there was somebody created this? Is it possible? Mm-hmm. So, a scientist, you know, I think that this really, the whole question of doubt is profoundly challenges the opposition of science and faith. Because every experiment that a scientist does, they do because they have doubt. If they
have some kind of question,
they have
and
a
they're
question,
trying to reach a resolution.
And they want to know a resolution. And the question involves, does this work or doesn't it? That's doubt. Is he God or isn't he? That's God. What sort of a God is he?
There's a process that they take in order to arrive at an answer.
At an answer, yeah.
Well, we're going to get to that process, yeah. I think, in our third question. No, our last question. But let's rush on so we can get to that last question. Yeah. The second question addresses the disciples, which I think you may tell a little bit of their story in your sermon. This question is called The Disciples' Rocky Road, and no, I'm not talking about ice cream. A common Christian longing is, if only I had been alive in the days of Jesus. We may think this, but following Jesus around for 3.5 years was anything but an easy job. What were some of the highs and lows the disciples experienced with Jesus? What are some of the highs and lows you've experienced in your faith?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's... If you really look at the Gospels, the Gospels are a story of a bunch of people struggling to find out who Jesus was, and their perspectives on it. I mean, let's just take a really clear example, but it's an example of many of them. Peter, mm-hmm. Who do you say that I am? You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God, and almost Seconds later, he turns around and says, and Jesus says to him, get thee behind me, Satan.
Right, right.
So, yes.
I do not think that you are a suffering servant.
Right. Like
that,
I do not think those, I don't,
I
that's
do not ascribe
not,
that so, path to you.
Yeah. Mm. That's not what, not what a Messiah does. So that's just a microcosm of, I think that when you see the disciples, I mean, you see the disciples when the woman broke open a bottle of perfume, and they say, well, this could have been done, this you're always talking about the poor, Jesus, this could have fed a load of people. What did you do? Are you really a charlatan? You know,
right. Yeah.
So all of those things happen, and I think they happen to us too. You know, we expect Jesus to do certain. Once we've accepted you, we turn around and say, "Look, Lord, I've been trying everything I know how to follow you for the past, and now this happens."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, a good culminating one is our passage here in Matthew 28, and that's what the third question addresses. And we've already spent a lot of time with it, so
right.
Maybe if there's any aspects of this question which we haven't touched on already, you can speak to briefly before we move on to our fourth question. This question is titled, "But Some Doubted." When the resurrected Jesus went to meet his disciples in Galilee, Matthew records, when the disciples saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. What does this mean? How could they have doubted? Hadn't they already seen Jesus alive from the dead? Where else do we see this combination of doubt and worship?
Well, yeah, we've already covered this fairly extensively, mm-hmm. but I think that the question is, what did they doubt? Did they doubt who he was? Did they doubt what he was doing? Did they doubt that he was alive? Did they doubt, you know? So that's more of the question, I think, than...
One other interesting point that the very end of this question addresses, it says, where else do we see this combination of doubt and worship? In my reading, I discovered that the only other location where this Greek word for doubt, it's diaptazo. The only other place where it occurs is in the same gospel, in Matthew, this time in Matthew 14. It's the account where Jesus walks on the water, and Peter's like, I want to do that too. And Peter goes out on the water, and then he says, Lord, save me. Jesus reaches his hand, pulls him out, brings him onto the boat, and he says, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And
right.
It's the same word. And then when they get back into the boat, it says that those in the boat worshipped him. So you have this worship preceded by doubt.
And that's a wonderful example to talk about. We'll leave them to talk about it.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Our last question, stepping forward, that this gets to that interesting dynamic of moving toward our doubts or moving away from them. The question is, Pastor Jonathan taught us on Sunday that when we have doubts, we can either move toward them or away from them. What does it mean? What does he mean by toward or away? Draw to your mind your biggest area of doubt right now. Are you willing to be honest with God in this area and pray, I believe, help my unbelief? What might your next step look like?
I think one of the easiest illustrations of this particular concept is John the Baptist.
Yes.
John the Baptist.
We're going to spend a whole week on him, aren't we?
Probably, yes. But John the Baptist said baptizes Jesus, gets thrown in prison, and then sitting in prison, he sends a message to Jesus. Are you the one who should come, or should we look for another?
Right.
Now, that is what I see that as. He is moving towards Jesus in his doubt. He could have moved away, where he would be sitting in his cell and saying, oh, well, I guess he wasn't who he said he was. So, you know, all this has been a waste of time. Mm-hmm. But that would be moving away. He would have been interpreting what was happening to him and saying, this is what this means, so I'm moving away. Whereas instead of doing that, he moves towards Jesus and says, Jesus, you know, this is what this looks like. Are you the one who came? And Jesus then gives him rather than saying, yeah, it's cool, I'm him, he then gives him a list of the things that are happening, which enables John to then make his own decision that says, yes, he did fulfill those things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. That's the difference between moving. And so when we as people, when we sort of think, well, I wonder if there is a God, do we move towards God to find out, or do we just say, puh?
Mm-hmm. Do we try to resolve our doubts, or do we just completely ignore them?
Right.
Yeah.
And assume that because we have a doubt, it must be right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super important, especially in the today's world. Well, do we know where we're going next week? Or do you want to give a little hint as to what character study? Or it's probably always best maybe to let them find out for themselves.
Well, we're probably going to go in the next week to the first book of the Bible that was written, or probably the first book.
Ah, okay.
So that will give that gives you a little clue.
You can do a little Google search there to see if it's Genesis or if it's something else. All right, guys, it's been great to spend this time with you. We hope that this has been beneficial for you and your growth group. We'll see you next week.
As I wait, heart of God.